I'm Menachem Liebtag, Sunday morning, January 13th.
Okay, good morning. Today's share is hopefully for Rosh Hashanah for Zelig Ben Chana, right? Zelig Ben Chana? Someone? Yeah, okay, thank you. Should be a Rosh Hashanah. The topic today, you'll have to help me decide because I'm not sure how much this we covered before. And when I was emailing Bernie and Mark, we weren't exactly sure. I want to make sure we haven't done it before. I'm pretty sure we haven't, but if we have, tell me. What?
I should have looked at my notes.
Okay. So, tell me. Oh, here's the title. The title is. All right. Oh, 1 second. Oh my gosh. I
Well, no. It's not you.
No, that's me.
Those were different class.
I sent the wrong, for this year I sent the wrong source sheet, but it's okay. Because actually, that's what we thought we did. Okay, I'll start with the one I have a source sheet for, and then we'll go to this one. But I don't, I was sleeping on this one. I sent the source sheet, my mistake. Okay, we're good. take a look in Parshat, look at Parshat HaChodesh for a minute. Go to Perek Yud Bet. Oh my gosh, okay. In Parshat HaChodesh, it divides into several sections. Take a quick look in Perek Yud Bet and tell me what the, what would you call the first topic? Everyone knows this because of the first Rashi in Chumash. Just tell me real quick, what's the first topic and how many psukim? Yeah. No, not the first topic is Rosh Chodesh, which is a commandment for who? Again, Shmot Perek Yud Bet. It's a commandment, but it's not a commandment for every individual. It's a commandment for sort of Beit Din. That's sort of Moshe Aaron. But not every Jew makes his own calendar. Correct? That's set by Beit Din. It might be a commandment to follow the calendar the Beit Din says, but God doesn't tell Moshe to tell that to the Jewish people. God tells Moshe and Aaron, start counting your months from here. But what's the next topic starting in Pasuk Gimel? Yeah, so give me a name for the next topic. That's what I wanted you to say. You said Korban Pesach. Now, how come that's wrong? Because if something's a Korban, give me something that defines a Korban. What does almost every korban have? It had a mizbeach. That's a mizbeach, and you do something to the dam. And on the mizbeach, you bring it's either all the animal or part of the animal, and sprinkle the blood or something like that. And there's all preparations and tara and things like that. Is the word korban anywhere here? You can take my word for it. It's not.
So they're taking the security system.
Okay. You can have the word we'll see later, it's called a zebach. It's called a zebach Pesach. You know what a zebach is? Zebach is a barbecue. Give me an example of two people who made a zebach on a mountain to sort of close a deal. Yaakov and Laban, remember? Back in Parshat Vayishlach, I guess. No, end of Vayetze. They make a deal, and when people make a deal, you sit down to a meal. Now, a zevach shlamim Hashem, that's a cookout where you share the meal with God. But in general, there's tons of articles that talk about this is like a korban, because what replaces the mizbeach? The house, remember, because we sprinkle the blood on the house replaces the mizbeach, and you can't have leftovers, it's like nota. There's a lot of imagery from korbanot. There's an ezov, which has to do with tara later on. But at the simplest level, It's not a korban. What is it? What's the main thing we're doing that evening? What? We're having a family meal. We're sitting down to a family meal, prepared, enough food for everybody, no leftovers, coming properly dressed, with your shoes on, by invitation, and not a lot of people together. In fact, the way we keep our Seder is almost a replica of the first Korban Pesach, of the Pesach, not Pesach, come on, the first Zevach Pesach. it's almost like, now, Sefer Dvarim, I'm saying runes, changes the whole thing around, doesn't it? What is Sefer Dvarim to do to Zerach Pesach? According to Sefer Shmot, where's the Zerach Pesach brought? In fact, what's the buzzword through the whole story? The word is bayit. There's tons of drashot on that, because that's where Judaism begins, everything starts with the home. We're building a home, we're taking an initiative, we're making a group, we're planning. And when people sit down to eat, and have all night to sit down to eat. Now, the mitzvah is not to eat it like we do with matzah in 4 minutes. Chippazon doesn't mean to rush the meal. It means you eat it eagerly. In other words, when the meal starts, everyone can be ready, and chippazon, do it eagerly, and don't, you know, schlep around, check the news first, check your messages first. Come down and eat it, and be ready for it. And taking your makel in your hand, remember that line? That has nothing to do with the walking sticks. Want a nice little proof? You'll get this one. Did Yehuda have trouble walking back to the mountain range when he didn't have his makel? He did a fine job, didn't he? Yehuda has a makel not because he has trouble walking. What's his makel? You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yehuda, the tribe. What? It's like in karate, it's like your black belt or whatever you have. It's a sign of importance. What does that mean? So that was the I was telling you up. What I'm getting at is it means come well dressed with your shoes on. Now we have the impression that we're getting dressed for what reason? That we have to eat quickly because we're leaving soon. And we have to be with our shoes on and our, because we're leaving and walking. But if you read what Moshe tells the people later on, no one can leave their home all night long. Remember? This should be fresh in your memories. What I want to show you is that from Gimel to Yod Gimel is all about we'll call Pesach Mitzrayim. That goes to Yod Gimel. Now, let's say, theoretically, we didn't leave Egypt that night. Okay? It turns out we have left Egypt that night. But let's say that night was Makat Pachor for the Egyptians. Our homes were saved. And nothing else happened that night. Would there be reason to bring a Pesach the next year? Would there be any point that, let's say the only thing that happened that night was we were saved from Makat Pachorot. Let's say we didn't leave Egypt that night. If God only did that, would that be enough to say thank you?
Sure.
There's a song like that, isn't there?
Yeah.
In fact, let's say your children ask you the next year, or 20 years later, when you bring this Pesach in your home, like we did in Egypt. What reason do you give them? Why are we bringing Pesach? Want to take a look? Look in Perek Yud Bet Pasuk Chafhei. Let's say you make it to Israel. And you bring it, you know, isn't Chafei when you get to the land of Israel? You get to the land of Israel and you do this Avodah of Pesach, of Zebach Pesach in your home. Okay? And let's say your kid asks you, Ma Avodat Lachem, and he's a normal kid. He's not a Russia or anything. He's just a normal kid. He's inquisitive. Yeah. What do you answer? Not Lacha, not, what's it? We don't tell him, Lachem V'lo, I mean, Lenu V'lo, whatever we say there. Because that's not the question. That's the question of the Seder. The question here is, why are we doing this Zebach Pesach? What do we answer him? What's the answer? Asher Pasacha Batenu. Got it? Then say a word about Yetzet Mitzrayim. In fact, most likely that's the reason why this meal is called a Pesach. Because what are we commemorating? Hashem Pesach. Is that my point? Yeah. And there's every reason to bring it, and it has nothing to do with the fact we left Egypt that night. It just so happens we did leave Egypt that night. And there's a holiday that celebrates that event, which is what? Chag HaMatzot. Now keep that in mind. To what pasuk are the laws of Pesach Mitzrayim? To where? Till where? How many psukim deal with Pesach Mitzrayim in Perek Yud Bet? From Gimel to where? But God tells Moshe, tell these laws to Bnei Israel about Pesach Mitzrayim. It starts in Gimel and goes to where? Including Yudalad? That's something that's the future. But up until Yud Gimel is Pesach Mitzrayim. Agreed? Not everything in Pesach Mitzrayim is done Pesach Dorot, is it? You know, there's a real easy distinction. What is going to be different between Pesach Mitzrayim and Pesach Doro? Some things will be the same, but what's going to be different? What makes Pesach Mitzrayim unique? Our lives are at stake. And therefore, everything has to do with Pikuach Nefesh was only Pesach Mitzrayim. What was Pikuach Nefesh? Why do we need the blood? Otherwise, I give it away. Everything has to do with sprinkling the blood on our doorpost, right, to make sure we don't get hit by the plague. All those elements are there. But the idea of taking it on the 14th and shechting it and eating it at night with matzah and mor and things like that, that's the dorot. But sprinkling the blood on our doorposts, that's what they call it. That'd be a one-time thing. Now, look in Pasuk Yedaled. We're switching now from Pesach Mitzrayim to something with dorot. Now, read the pasuk carefully. He has to tell the people now. What's it say? We're good? Yeah. What's that referring to? To do what the Dorot? Zevach Pesach? Where? Yeah? And in your home? Or in the Mikdash? So we haven't heard about a Mikdash in your home. And what do you do? It's, how many day holiday is it?
So what?
No.
Just that
night? No, you're reading ahead. If I didn't read Pasuk Tetvav, right? If I only had Pasuk Yedaled, I would say I'd have Pesach and we wouldn't go to a hotel, we'd do it at home. I meant Mikdash. You have some machloket between Shmot and Dvarim? In Dvarim, you can only bring Pesach, there's the Korban Pesach, only in the Mikdash. And they go out of the way to emphasize it, remember? Don't even think about any at home. It was Devarim wants you going to Yerushalayim, Shmuel wants you being at home. How do we paskin? So those who make the Seder at home, they paskin like Shmuel. But those who go to a hotel, which is a Mikdash Ma'at, they hold like Devarim.
What? Then we say bring the Zevach Pesach in future years. So it's like Chag HaSamos on the day, Chag HaSamos on Hashem. That's the same now.
Where? Oh yeah, Yudal is a big one. It's like if we didn't have Pasuk Tetvav, you would think it's referring to what we did just now. Now, what's Hayom is that referring to? If I didn't have Pasuk Tetvav, Vayeh Hayom Hazeh Lechem Zikaron, what day is it referring to? There's several possibilities. What's one possibility? And how could it be something at night if it's Hayom Hazeh? Or maybe it is. What would make more sense? But what's the simplest answer? Who's talking to who? God's talking to Moshe Rabbeinu on what day? On Rosh Chodesh. So what's God telling Moshe Rabbeinu? This day should be the day, what day? Rosh Chodesh. In my Seder last year, someone brought up this Havamina. We slugged them up. But he said, that's, remember Yochom Rosh Chodesh? That's what it's talking about. I might think my obligation to tell the story might start in Rosh Chodesh. Then we start all these limudim. That actually means not day but night. Right? Now, but it might mean Rosh Chodesh. It might mean what? It might mean the 14th, the day that you shecht it. It might mean the 14th of night, the day that it happened. Could it mean the 15th in the morning? Could be, but we haven't mentioned the 15th yet. No. Now continue reading. And what's the next topic? How does it begin? Eat matzah for 7 days. And have a holiday on the first day, a holiday on the seventh day. And no chametz. And boy, big time no chametz, remember? No, we have eating matzah for 7 days and no chametz for 7 days. And a holiday on the first day and the last day. And ochel nefesh stuff. Got that? What's the reason for that holiday? You know, is Pasuk Yedaled introducing that holiday? That's what it sounds like, doesn't it? But it's unclear. If Pasuk Yedaled is introducing Tetvav Techav, then it's talking about Chag HaMatzot. Or it could be that Yedaled is summarizing Pesach Mitzrayim, we do that Ledorot on the 14th. And Ledorot, we also have we'll call Chag HaMatzot. Now, look at those Psukim again. Is there a reason for Chag HaMatzot in these Psukim? Why we're eating matzah for 7 days? What pasuk? Look in Pasuk Yud Zayin. What's Pasuk Yud Zayin say? You read this yesterday, didn't you? I'm sure it bothered you. Don't you correct here the Balkari, don't you? What did he say? Ushmartem et mitzvot. I'm sorry. Ushmartem et matzot. I bet they crush. Okay. Okay. Why? It's referring to this eating matzah for 7 days. I think it's keeping the mitzvah of eating matzah for 7 days. Why? Ki be'etzem hayom hazeh hotzeiti et tzivotechem me'eretz Mitzrayim. Because what did I do on this day? I took Am Yisrael out of Egypt, and therefore keep this day l'dorotechem chukat olam. Does that phrase ring a bell? U'shmartem et hayom hazeh l'dorotechem chukat olam. What's that match? Doesn't that match Pasuk Yudalad? So therefore, what might be... Now, what's the problem with Pasuk Yudzayin? Pasuk Yudzayin is saying, eating matzah reminds me of what? That we left Egypt. Now, why would eating matzah for 7 days remind you about leaving Egypt? Was there something when we left Egypt that eating matzah would remind us of? Because what did we eat for the whole first week when we left Egypt? What did we eat in the desert? And why did we eat matzah? Because God commanded us to? No, that's all we had. Why was that? Because we were rushed out. Yeah. God didn't tell us before we left Egypt to eat matzah for 7 days. Right? It just so happened we got rushed out. In fact, we weren't ready. Maybe we should have been ready, but we weren't ready. And default, that's what happened sort of coincidentally, because we got rushed out. Now, for people who live through that experience, the next year when you come to Israel, or wherever you're going to be, and you eat matzah for 7 days, then what will that remind you of? It'll remind you of what happened. But what's the problem with Pasuk Yudzayin?
It hasn't happened yet.
And what indicates in Pasuk Yudzayin that it happened already? That's past tense, isn't it? There's no vav in front of it. All the parshim talk about it. Understand? But it sounds like it is in past tense. And it makes sense it's in past tense, and therefore, logically, when should this commandment be given? What? No. After we leave Egypt. It would make sense to give this commandment after we leave Egypt. If we found these psukim not here, but after we left Egypt, the same Perek Yud Gimel, it would make sense. If first we had the story of if we had that story already of eating matzah on the way, it would make sense to give this commandment, remember it by eating matzah. But it makes no sense commanding it before we leave Egypt. Correct?
Let's make sure I get this right. You're saying that we're working on the principle that the 20 psukim here are all told to Moshe on the 10th.
No.
Whenever, in one law.
We're working on the principle of Emukdam Mukhar
B'Torah. Sure. So you speak, but...
And we're working on the principle that past tense is past tense.
So nobody's going to say Emukdam Mukhar B'Torah.
It happens every once in a while. Look by the month. Does it happen by the month?
Let me rephrase.
Wait. By the month. Let me just give you... Time out. Before you ask... I'll show you the answer before you ask it. Open up Perek Tetzayin in Shemot. I'm pretty sure it's one parshia. Maybe I'm wrong. Shemot Tetzayin. It's not too far away. This week's parsha. Tetzayin. Okay, good. Still one parsha. Here, look in Pasuk Lamed Bet. You can start from Lamed Aleph. Vayikru Beit Yisrael, et Shmo Man.
Yeah,
isn't that cool? Beit Yisrael calls it Man. Okay? Is that okay? Vayomer Shezed Abar Shetiv Hashem Lo Homer Menad Mishmer Dotchem Lo Maniru Talechem. And the Vayomer Shezed Aram Kach Sitzen Tachad Tachad Shem Lo Homer. All one parsha, right? Okay. And those last two came are way late. Everyone agrees those are later. And that even seems even way later than... I don't want to say it, but when you read it, it's at the end of at least after 40 years. It's front of the Eidut. Look at Pasuk Lam. That pasuk can't be any earlier than the 40th year. Okay, understand? Those are flipped, but we find instances where we have a parsha that's. I know it doesn't make sense, but we find it.
Are you saying that Yubei and Aleph Nukaf is one parsha? It can have references to future dates that aren't yet.
It could be. Now, it could be that God knows the future. And God's telling Moshe that this is going to happen. Yeah. But then, there should be logical reason for telling him the future. That's all. Okay, now what did most Parshim say? Because it's Nevoah, I can talk about it happen because he knows God knows what's going to happen. So that's an answer, but that doesn't solve the question.
Why does it say it in the future?
That should say. If God's telling Moshe in real time, he should say it. Now, let me show you the next thing. Got it? Understand the two sections? What should Moshe do now after Pasuk Chaf? After God tells him, Daber b'nei Yisrael, dot, 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 what should Moshe do? Look in Pasuk Chaf Aleph. What does Moshe do? Look in Chaf Aleph, in Perek Yud Bet. Vayikra Moshe, close the Yisrael, v'yemer lehem, mishchu k'chu lechem, tzon mishpatem, shechitu ha-pasach, uktam begirtam, v'tvartam badam asher basaf, all that. Get them on the mashkof, but we have the commandment to do what? I call it SOS. I'm assuming that Moshe told, Rambam points this out, that Moshe told Bnei Yisrael everything that God told him in Parshat HaChodesh, at least about Tzevach Pesach. And God also told him about this Ezov. In other words, God told Moshe Rabbeinu A, B, C, D, E, F, G. When Chumash gives the command to Moshe, it tells us A, B, C, D, E. And when Moshe tells Bnei Yisrael, it says E, F, G. Understand my point? Rambam mentions this over and over again. Now, let's see what laws he tells him about. He tells him about Pesach Mitzrayim. Agreed? That's from Pasuk Chav Aleph to Chav Gimel. And he talks about all the things which are necessary to save your life. Okay. And the buzzword is Pesach. Remember? God's going to... It's Pikuach Nefesh. And therefore, everyone has to know to put the blood outside their doors. That will save their life. Okay. And then he tells you... He tells the people, it makes sense with them now, this is what we're doing this year, do it for the years to come. See the word again, chok, something that's set. And then, chafei, when you come to the land of Israel, and your kids ask, do this avodah. When your kids ask you, why am I doing it? I say, zarah pesach, we read before. What does it Moshe tell the people? Moshe doesn't say anything about eating matzah for 7 days. He tells them about Pesach Dorot, agreed? Before we leave Egypt. Which makes sense, because we're doing Pesach this year. We could do it again in the future. But he doesn't mention a word about Pesach, about Chag HaMatzot. Is there a good reason why he doesn't mention a word about Chag HaMatzot? Because it doesn't make sense to say anything about Chag HaMatzot now. Does Moshe ever tell the people about Chag HaMatzot? If you open up your tefillin, you could see it. But you can't. But or if you were in shul yesterday, you would have read it. Yeah. Take a look in Perek Yud Gimel. Actually, before Perek Yud Gimel, just take a look in Perek Yud Bet, what happens? What happens in Pasuk Chavtet to Lamed Vav in Perek Yud Bet? It's midnight, right? Okay? Makat Bechorot? And what happened? In Pasuk Lamed Gimel, V'techezach Mitzrayim alam lamele shachah min arz kemur kulenu mitim v'aysam b'tziko tem yechmatz. We were rushed out of Egypt by the Egyptians and we took the dough on our shoulders and our knapsacks, okay? And then we traveled from Ramses to Sukkot and Pasek Lamed Zayin, and then Pasek Lamed Ted, Vayefu et HaBatzek, Asher Otsim Mimitzayim, Go Matzok, Kilo Chometz, Ki Goshu Mimitzayim, Lechut Vameh. Therefore, what did we eat on the way? Matzah. Seemingly, not because we were commanded to, but rather, incidentally. And then we finished our Bamot, 400 years, the brief Ben Amtan was over. Okay. And then, so we're out of Egypt. Look in Pasek Nun Aleph, Vayi Be'etzem Ayom Azeh, Hotzi Hashem Et Bnei Yisrael, Mimitzayim Al Tzibotam. And then what happens in Pasuk Yud Gimel? God tells Moshe, Kadishri Kol B'chor. Right, that's in your tefillin? What should Moshe do now after Pasuk Aleph Bet? God told Moshe, Kadishri Kol B'chor. What should Moshe do now?
Tell him.
Tell who? Tell Am Yisrael, what should they do? Kadishri Kol B'chor. What does he do instead? Look in Pasuk Gimel. V'yemar Moshe Elam, Zechor et hayom hazeh asher yitzatem mimitzayim bibeit avadim. What laws does Moshe tell the people after we leave Egypt? All the laws of Chag HaMatzot, not Pesach, Chag HaMatzot, the Dorot. Does it make sense now? In other words, you just went through this experience of Yitzat Mitzrayim, and what reminds you of this experience, eating matzah? And therefore, next year, to remember the experience, you eat matzah. And why would that remind you of that God took you out of Egypt? Because you remember, because that was a strange experience. No. So that makes sense. For the people who went through the Exodus, it makes sense. that when they eat matzah in the spring next year, they'll remember the Exodus. And even 10 years later, they'll remember. How about 50 years later when these little, you know, Israeli kids start running around? What do they know? Every year in the spring, what do? We eat matzah. But it won't remind them of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Why? It reminds them it's springtime. Remember? Yeah. And therefore, what do we need to do to make sure it's meaningful? Look in Pasachet. V'igadeta levitcha b'yomahu. On what day? On the day you start eating matzah. And what do you tell your kids? B'alvor zeh, sashem li b'tzei t'mei Mitzrayim. In other words, as soon as we start eating matzah, what do I have to explain to my children? Why I'm eating matzah? To remember the Exodus. But if I don't tell the story, it won't have... If I don't tell the story, it won't be meaningful. And that's what we do to this day, isn't it? Now, these laws make perfect sense after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Correct? And that's why Moshe tells him after Yitzhak Mitzrayim. When did Moshe find out about these laws? It could be God told him, he got the sneak preview beforehand. Maybe he got the promo, you know. Yeah, then. But when God told him the promo, it was in past tense. Where would it make sense that God would have told Moshe Rabbeinu this law? It should be right here. Agreed? Okay, now. We skipped something. What did we skip? Go to Pasuk Mem Gimel. And Perek Yud Bet. This is already Shishi. No one's paying attention in Shishi, right? What? Look at Mem Gimel. I'm sorry. In Pasuk Mem Bet, we left Egypt, didn't we? Ve'oshim hu la'ashem. Got it? Ve'yomer Hashem Moshe, zot chukat ha'pasa, ko ben echal lo yocha bo. Okay. Ko eved ish mi'gat kesev, bato oz yocha bo. What laws are here? Toshav zot lo yocha bo, v'aytachad yochel. Why would you say it's Korban Pesach? Then say Korban. Okay, but it's lost for Pesach. I'll call it Zevach Pesach. Agreed? For when? For now or for the future? Who's talking to who? God's telling Moshe and Aaron the laws of Pesach Doro. I was Zevach Pesach. Agreed? And what laws? You have to have circumcision beforehand. You have to eat it in the same house. And if someone's a stranger, you have to be a full convert. It's got to be Orthodox conversion, not none of this other. He's got to be a complete convert to get a... And only then he can eat Pesach. Not the waiter, not anyone else. No, it's Korban Pesach only for someone in the breed. And no Arel can eat it. Got it? And the same. And once you become a Ger, though, it's the same law for everybody. Okay. Now, when should this law have been told to the people? Before we left Egypt, after we left Egypt? Did these laws apply to Pesach Mitzrayim as well? Sure they do. Didn't you read Sefer Yeshua? Didn't everyone do Milah before we left Egypt? It says so, doesn't it? Remember, we don't do Milah in the desert, but in Sefer Yeshua, when we do Milah in Parakeh, it says they did Milah. Why? Because since we left Egypt, we haven't done Milah. I think it says that, doesn't it, in Parakeh? It's Haftarah even, I think, it's Haftarah somewhere, I guess, on Pesach.
Stop paying attention
by
Shishi.
Yeah, okay. Now, what's the proof? Look at the next line. Pasuk Nun. V'yasu kol b'nei Yisrael kasher tziva Hashem Moshe v'et Aron ken asu. Is that talking about 40 years from now? That'd be even a bigger problem. And therefore, where do these psukim belong? You catch on yet or not? Yes. Show me where do these psukim belong? God talking to Moshe and Aaron about the laws of Pesach, the Dorot. Remember how I do cut and paste? You guys do it. Yeah. It's just do a simple cut and paste. I take where do these psukim belong? No. Where in Perek Yud Bet do they belong? If these psukim were Tet Vav, I'd have no problem. Let's read them together. Let's read Yud Dalet. Perek Yud Bet. Read Yud Dalet. V'ayah hayom hazeh lechem lezikaron. What day? Pesach. That we just brought. V'chagotam b'toch chag l'Hashem. Continue. L'dorotechem chukat olam t'chogu. Got it? Followed by zot chukat ha'pasach. In the future, how do we celebrate it? Not with all the blood sprinkling, because that was SOS. In the future, still we have the laws of you have to have brit milah, and you have to be in the same house, you can't break any bones. Understand? So if these psukim We're in Pasuk Tedvav through Chaf. They belong there perfectly, don't they? And then if I would switch those with the Psukim of Tedvav to Chaf, if they were where? If they were here, it would be even better. So to put Chumash back in chronological order, all we have to do is swap two sets of five Psukim. Understand? Now, I'm not sure. I'm not explaining why. I'm saying if I follow the grammar of the Psukim, the context, and the logic of them, everything would make sense if Tedvav to Chaf was at the end of the parak. Got it? And Pasuk Mem Gimel to Nun was exactly where Tet to Chavav was. How does Moshe know, and when does Moshe tell the people about 7 days of Chag HaMatzot? After we leave Egypt. It only makes sense. And God said, Hotzeiti Etchem. So if that's true, then I have only one question left. Why does Chumash switch the Parshiot around? That's a good question. But the question is less important than the question is more important than the answer. Got it? Now, if Chumash never did anything like this before, okay. But doesn't Chumash do that over and over again? Now, I want to show you a couple of things, what I call delimiter. Okay? What delimits Pasuk Mem Gimel to Nun? What's showing you it's an insert? Look at Pasuk Nun Aleph. Is it Nun Aleph a repeat of Pasuk Mem Bet? Or for more than just Mem Bet, probably from Mem. Look at Pasuk Mem Aleph. Why am I repeating? Nun Aleph is a repeat, isn't it? There's no Chiddush in Nun Aleph. It's just a repeat. Why do I have a repeat? Because that's delimiting this insert, isn't it? We have something very similar. Want to see another insert? Where I have repeated Psukim? Go back to Perek Vav. Look at the end of Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Tet to Lamed. Isn't Chaf Tet, look in Vav, the end of Vav. In Perek Vav, Pasuk Chaf Tet to Lamed. Isn't that a repeat of something? Of what? No, it's a repeat from Pasuk Yud to Yud Bet. God tells Moshe, go speak to Paro, send me. Moshe says, I can't do it. And then Moshe says, do it anyhow. And here, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paro and tell him, and God, Moshe says, I can't do it again. It's a bit of a shorter version, but it's a repeat, isn't it? It's not Mecharesh anything. But now, what's it delimiting? Look what it's delimiting. The genealogies, right? We're introducing the cast. But Yud Gimel to Chavchet doesn't belong here, does it? Isn't Yud Gimel, in Perek Vav, Yud Gimel to Chavchet are the genealogies. Remember Elor Shebet Abotam? That's an insert, isn't it? It belongs back in Perek, but it doesn't belong here for sure. Because you already heard about Moshe Aaron and all these people. Now we find out about their yichus. But again, what does Chumash do to show it's delimiting something? I mean, to show it there's an insert, it delimits it. It's like brackets. Now, the question, I want to explain now why there's an insert here, and then we'll explain why there's an insert at the end. Okay? So again, I'm not answering the question, I'm just, the first part of the show was simply to show you the problem. We're good? I guess we didn't do this before. Otherwise you would remember. We didn't do it before. Okay, good. Okay, so the next show will be next time. So keep that in mind. In case I lost you, we'll get back to it. I want to show you another example of thinking out of order. Go back to the end of Perek Yud about Choshech, okay? In Perek Yud, just keep everything in memory for a while and just do etch a sketch and start from scratch again. This is like Act 2. Okay? That was the Scene 2, but totally different. And later we'll tie them together. In Perek Yud, I said, right? Perek Yud, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. What plague is that? It's Choshech, right? How many days was Choshech? Everyone says 3? No one cares about Rashi? What's Rashi say? 6. Remember he said 6, and all the plagues were like a week? Okay, but I'll in the meantime we'll hold by Chumash, okay? According to Chumash, it's 3 days. It says twice 3 days, but Shad is 3 days of Choshech. Remember those 3 days. Now, What number plague is Choshech? Number 9. Agreed? It's a ninth plague. Has Paro ever given in before? Before Choshech? Way back he gave in and said, after 4 plagues, he said, go serve your God, but in the land. Moshe says, no, we got to go 3 days distance, and ba ba ba. They stopped the negotiations. Then 4 plagues later, in the beginning of Parshat Bo, remember? Paro says, you know what? They, what do you call it? Go, and but just the men go, because he knows Jewish law. He went to YU. And, I just say that. We'll erase that later. He said, only men have to daven, remember? And what do you call it? And Moshe insists, what? No. Everyone has to go daven. And Paro says, no, only the men. And what happens? No, they all leave Camp David. I mean, their negotiations are broken. I got it? And what do they break down on? On women and children. After Choshech, what's Paro say? Look in Pasuk Chavdalet. Paro calls out and says, go serve your God. Just leave your cattle behind. But who can go? Okay, women and children can go. He had a change of heart. Read some articles. But he, what did he call it? He said, it's okay to go. Got it? Send them all. But what? Leave what behind? Leave the cattle behind. Got it? What happens there? What's Moshe say? Moshe, well, here's the great. He says, even if you give us cattle to bring sacrifices to our God, that's not enough. We have to take all of our possessions. Why? Because when we get there, we don't know what God's going to ask for. He might want only animals that were grown in a Jewish home. He won't take Egyptian animals. Or maybe he want. We don't know what he might ask us to bring our fur coats. He might ask us to bring wagon. We don't know what. We have to bring everything we own. Got it? To Har Sinai. Because we don't know what God's going to ask for. Now, what's Paro think?
You can run away.
Yeah, okay. Whatever. It doesn't sound good. And what's Paro's reaction? What's Paro say? Get out of here, right? And don't want to see you. I mean, don't you dare come here again. You're a persona non grata. You come here again. Here's my phone number. When you're interested, give me a call. Who am I quoting? No one remembers that? Remember? What? There was some American secretary of something who told some American Israeli prime minister, when you're interested in negotiations, here's my phone number, give me a call. Yeah, that was it. Okay. Let's be curious. No. It's Kohet. Nothing changes in history. So what happened? But who gets the last word in? Moshe acts like a teenager here. Because what happened? Paro says, don't you dare come here again. And what's Moshe say? I'm not coming back. Right? You're right. Remember, Paro says, you're fired. Moshe says, I quit. No. Look at the end. Read it again, though, carefully. Pasuk Chavchet, in the end of Perek Yud. Okay? You read this yesterday also, didn't we? No. What happens next? Pasuk Yud Aleph. God tells Moshe what? Look carefully in Pasuk Yud Aleph. Moshe, what does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? What's he telling him now? One more plague and it's over. And after the next plague, what's Paro going to do? He's not going to let you go. He's going to kick you out. To do what? Not kick you out for good, kick you out to serve your God. Understand? Because that's all we asked for. That you know. We did that. I'm sure we know that here. Remember, you know, Moshe never says, let my people go. All the movies have it wrong. And it's not about going to Israel. Moshe never asked to go to Israel. He never asked for freedom. The only thing Moshe ever asked for, we want to go a 3-day distance into the desert to serve our God. We never ask for more, we never get more. And when Paro finally says, get out of my country, he doesn't say get my country for good, he says, go and serve your God. And the reason we leave Egypt is because Egypt is convinced that the reason for the plagues is because we have to serve our God in the desert. Remember the reason for that? Remember God's plan? That was a Zionistic line. If Paro gave us permission to leave Egypt, you can count on your hands how many kids would have, you know, a couple, maybe Sifan, Akiva, and Tinek would have made Aliyah. But had we had permission to leave Egypt, everyone would not have left overnight and gone. On top of it, there's nowhere really to go to anyhow. They even say later on, we told you so. This is crazy. The only way we're going to leave Egypt is if someone kicks us out. So I need Egypt to kick us out. What's going to convince Egypt to kick us out? All of Egypt has to be totally convinced that the reason for these plagues, this global warming, that Moshe warned about like way back, every prediction he made is coming true. Because he said in the beginning, if we don't serve our God this 3-day distance in the desert, remember, there'll be Devar and Cherev, it'll be really bad. Paro just, you know, shrugs it off, doesn't believe it. And then the first plague, Paro then changes his mind, that's just, you know, by chance. And that's this, and the same happened back in the Ice Age. You follow? It's got nothing to do, it's just by chance that Moshe gives these warnings. He doesn't take the statistics carefully. He starts giving it a little bit. There might be something to it, you follow? But every time, it's not worth spending all that money. I'm sorry, it's not worth... it's not worth changing our policy because of these predictions. But every single plague is convincing him a little more and more. Now, what's Paro worried about? We'll see in a minute. But finally, after 10 plagues, what happens? Not just Pharaoh, but all of Egypt is convinced that the reason for the plagues is this people has to go serve the God in the desert. And therefore, we don't leave, we're thrown out. Remember, Betechazak Mitzrayim? We weren't ready to leave. We're thrown out and we're forced to go serve our God. But what's Moshe tell us to? That's the next line now. What's God tell Moshe to do? Go tell the people, Daber Nabas Ne'am, Bishalu Ishmet Reo, Mishmutat Chay Chesed Uchayzahav. When you leave, we have this minhag to this day, right? Go tell the Egyptians, you want us to go serve our God in the desert? We have a custom in Judaism. You don't go to Shul to Daven without nice clothes and jewelry and nice things, correct? And therefore, if you want our davening to work, we need nice clothes and we need nice jewelry and we need gold and silver. And we can't have paper. It pollutes, but it's not nice either. And therefore, give us all your gold and, you know, lend us whatever you can so we can go serve our God properly. How come Egypt is so eager to lend us everything we ask for? Because they have no choice. Because their lives are at stake. Because if we don't go, they're all dead. Whatever we ask for, they'll give us. Later, the men are going to ask for arms. Remember, B'chamoshima, how do we get arms? We told them, listen, we're going to the desert to serve our God. It's dangerous in the desert. There's wild animals, there's attackers, there's people like tribes like Amalek. We can't go there without arming ourselves. We need a police force. Not an army, but a police force. Now, it doesn't make any sense to give them arms, but just look at the Oslo agreements. Is that what happened? If you have to sign an agreement, got it? And you have to have a police force, you can't do it without arms. Therefore, if we have to leave Egypt to serve our God, we need arms, otherwise we won't go. And Egypt gives us arms, don't they? They're going to regret it later on. But please explain that that's God's, that's why God, that what's convicting Egypt? The constant warnings before the plagues is what's convincing Egypt. Agreed? But why does Pharaoh keep on changing his heart and changing his mind? Because it doesn't make sense. You should give in already. But look for example, the beginning of Parshat Bo. You remember this by heart. It's the first Aliyah. And Perek Yud Pasek Zayin. Yamru Abdei Paro Elav. Remember that one? Ad Matei Zeh Lenu Lemokesh. His own advisors, his whole cabinet tells him, how long is this people going to be a stumbling block? Shalach Tanashim. Send them out to go serve their God. We're all lost. What's Paro do? He calls Moshe and Aaron back in. He says, go serve your God. And the Paro says, only the men and not the women. And it breaks down. But everyone's slowly convinced. But God's sort of tightening the tension, because when they finally give in, when so many people die with Makat Bechorot, they're totally convinced. Got it? And that's how we get Rechush Gadol. That's how we get all the Jews out of Egypt overnight. Understand? I need Egypt to do the dirty work, and this setup enables us to get the Rechush Gadol. But we're borrowing it. Later we'll see why we keep it. There's something. What else, besides the fact all these warnings, what else convinces the Egyptians the Jewish sacrifice can stop a plague? Egypt can be totally convinced that the God of the Ivrim is causing these plagues. All the warnings prove it. But how are they going to be convinced that Jewish sacrifice can stop a plague? What, Egypt saw us bring Korban Pesach? They saw us take the lamb? They saw us shecht it? They saw us put the blood outside? Inside? No, wait, the blood was outside. Oh, you're right. They all saw it, didn't they? And in fact, after Makat Bechor, what did they notice? Ein bait asher ein shamet, except where? And what? How? Which houses did not have a plague? The ones that had a zevach. I can't say korban. But to them, they thought it was a korban, because they went to Rabbi Zakshir. Sure. It looked like a korban, okay? And therefore, they're totally convinced now that the only way to stop the plagues is we have to go serve our God. Therefore, they're throwing us out. Now, we do something every year to remember this rush. That's why we eat matzah. To remember how we were thrown out and how God did it. But God's got an awesome plan, isn't it? No. That explains now. Now go back to Pasuk, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Bet. God told Moshe Rabbeinu one more plague and it's over. And what isn't God going to do? What's been God doing till now after every plague? Every single plague, it has either God hardens his heart, he makes his heart heavy, or Paro hardens his own heart, or makes his own heart heavy, but every plague ends. Everyone, even with the word, they all end, everyone has that phrase in one form or other. What did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? Next plague, what is God not going to do? I'm not going to harden my heart. Got it? And therefore, if I'm not going to harden my heart, what's he going to do? This time I'll kick you out. And then because you're going out, what do? Tell the people to borrow. And then Chumash tells us that God had everything set for it. What should Moshe do now? Oh, by the way, there's a big question here. What did God just tell Moshe Rabbeinu in Pasuk Yud Aleph? One more plague, and it's over. Now, what plague is it? We know what plague it is. How do we know what plague it is? It's Makat Bechorot. We say that. But how does Moshe know what plague God's talking about? Doesn't God tell Moshe about every plague beforehand? Did God tell Moshe yet about Makat Bechorot? What?
He told him
what? Not the Sneh, Midian. He said that, tell Pharaoh I might kill his firstborn. He didn't say I'm going to kill all the firstborn, and not the firstborn of the animals. He didn't say what day was going to be or anything. It could be. That's Ebenezer answers that. We'll suggest something different in a minute. But it's interesting, just note for now, that God tells Moshe Rabbeinu one more plague, it's over, and doesn't tell him what the plague is. Maybe he doesn't know yet, but we'll see. Oh, but look at Pasuk Dalet. Look at Pasuk Dalet now. Who's talking in Pasuk Dalet? Moshe. Who's he talking to? To the people, right? What's he tell them? Pasuk Hei, Kol Mar Hashem Kachasot HaLayla, and Yotzei B'toch Mitzrayim. He knows about Makat Bechorot, doesn't he? Umeid Kol Bechor Be'aretz Mitzrayim. Now, take a minute now, in case you fell asleep. Look in Pasuk Dalet again. Who's talking? Moshe. Now, it doesn't say who he's talking to, but the assumption he's talking to Am Yisrael, because God just told him to. I want you to find where Moshe stops talking. He's quoting God in the middle, but Moshe starts talking in Pasuk Dalet. You have to look on your own. Find where he stops talking. And raise your hand. Don't blurt it out. I want to make sure everyone finds it. Raise your hand when you find it. I want you to start reading from Pasuk Dalet. Note that Moshe is talking about Makat Bechorot. I want you to find in what Pasuk does Moshe finish talking. Just raise your hand when you find it. And when you find it, then figure out who he's talking to. If you didn't notice this yesterday, you didn't do Shnei Mikra Vechad Arba. You were probably Yotzei Laning, but you weren't. Zero comprehension. Okay, what? In what pasuk did he finish talking? In Pasuk Chet, there's no doubt about it, right? In Pasuk Chet, he finishes talking for sure. Now, all the way to the end of Pasuk Chet? Almost to the end. But what's the last phrase? What's he do? He storms out of Pharaoh's palace. So who's he talking to? He's talking to Paro. What's the proof? Look at Pasuk Chet. Who's he talking to? Moshe's talking to Paro about what's going to happen to Paro and his cabinet members in Paro's palace. You didn't notice that yesterday, did you? But if you read carefully, you would have noticed it. Agreed? Here, pass this around. Pass these around that way. Maybe take one for every two or so. Wait, this should be enough. I'm not sure. If you're with somebody, then take it. If you don't have, raise your hand, we'll get them around. Don't look at the page yet, we're just getting them around. Let me review, because in case I lost you, this is the most important part. In Pasuk Dalet Techet, Moshe beyond a shadow of a doubt is talking to Pharaoh and telling him about what? All the details of Makat Bechorot. Who's going to die? And everything. And how nothing's happened to Am Yisrael. And he tells them that after Makat Bechorot, what's going to happen? You're going to come. I'm not coming to you, you're going to come to me. And then he leaves Pharaoh's palace. What's the problem with this? What? What did he say at the end of Perek Yud? I'm not coming back here again. Right? And he came back. Paro let him in. Didn't Paro say, don't you dare come back here again?
Years ago, you did this saying that it's not like freezing food.
Yeah, but this part of the show we did, so I have to review it now.
That means, remembering right, you're saying that beginning of Yud Aleph,
yeah,
is Moshe to freeze frame. He's been told, get out. And there's an insertion here, which is I think where you're going.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an insertion here of God talking to Moshe. And then Moshe turns around.
Yeah, God. Okay, so take a look. Look at the page I gave you. And flip it over. Flip it towards this D. Makat Choshech, when did it happen? Look at that page. Everything we just read is there. You see this page here? It says D. It has the end of Perek Yud and the beginning of Perek Yud Aleph. You see it? In the middle of the page, you have the shouting match between Moshe and Paro and the end of Perek Yud, where Moshe Paro says, don't come back here again, and Moshe says, yeah, I'm coming back. Perek Yud Aleph, the first group speaking was the insert that Mark was talking about. See the insert? And then Moshe talks again in Pasuk Dalet Techet to Pharaoh. Now, because Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again, what do almost all the Parshim understand? He never left.
Right.
He never left. And if he never left, what's that mean? That in the middle of the shouting match, what happened? God gave Moshe Nevuah in the middle of the shouting match. Understand? I think we did this. But just to show you who says this. Yeah, yeah. Now look on, keep the page like this, but flip the side and look in Rashi on the right. In the middle of the page, see Rashi? V'yomer Moshe and Pasuk Dalet. V'yomer Kol Hasharim Bo'amdo Lifnei Paro Ne'amar Lo Nevuah Zu Sharim Yishtasav V'lo Hosif Lo Panav. What's Rashi say right away? This Nevuah, the Moshe told Paro, Moshe got this Nevuah in front of Paro's, in Paro. Got it? It's Aleph the Gimel was in Paro's palace. Moshe got a beeper. Right? He didn't turn off the cell phone. He got a beeper in the middle of his shouting match with Pharaoh. Rashbam says the same thing. Ramban, look, flip the page. Ramban says the same thing and explains why. Remember? V'chinamu Rabbeinu, kapatz alav Elohim. God sort of jumped on Moshe Rabbeinu in the middle of Paro's palace. Kibyachol nichas bepatin shaparo. God entered, like barges in the middle of the conversation. God barges in and tells Moshe Rabbeinu, he's got something to tell him. Why? All for the sake of Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe said, I don't want to see you again. And God did not want Moshe to have to lie. Oh, someone worried about lying. Right? Got it? And why? Because as soon as Moshe said, I'm not coming back here again, but Moshe has to come back. Why? Because he didn't tell him about Makat Bechorot yet. So before Moshe leaves, he's about to leave. God says, oh, wait. As long as you're there, I don't want you to die, right? As long as you're there, tell him about Makat Bechorot. Okay? The problem is God didn't tell him about Makat Bechorot. He told him the next plague is the last plague. I guess he knew about Makat Bechorot. He must have known, because how could he tell Moshe? Because he tells Paro about Makat Bechorot. Now, Ebenezer won't buy this. He says, this did not happen in Pharaoh's palace. Rather, he says, this insert now, Ebenezer says, this little insert here, it's not in real time. This little insert is a footnote. Got it? That's Ebenezer. Ebenezer says, this is a footnote where Chumash is telling the reader information that he needs before he continues the story. We're in the middle of the shouting match between Moshe and Paro, and Chumash is worried that the reader might get all confused here. Remember? And the reader needs information to remind him about all these things that Moshe is about to say. So Ebenezer, if you look at Ebenezer on the other side of the page, it says, when Vayomer Hashem, which is Pasuk Aleph, says this Pasuk should, what should, this Pasuk should be Pasuk Dalet. Got it? Vayomer Hashem hayaroi shtiv dvekaba Pasuk hazeh parshat Vayomer Moshe Kolmar Hashem. Ebenezer is saying that after the end of Perek Yud, should not come Pasuk Aleph, should be Pasuk Dalet. V'nichnasa b'neim parshat oneg echad. This is an insert, these three psukim. And the reason is to tell the reader how Moshe knows when he's about to tell Paro. Okay? And when did Moshe tell this to Paro? Matay amar lo? Oh, God told him back in Midian. That's what you answered. And what did he tell him about borrowing? He told them back in the burning bush. So simply Chumash has to tell the reader something because he might have forgotten. And then look towards the end. He says, "Vinei pirush vayomer Hashem Moshe od negachad ukfar amar Hashem zel Moshe." It's called past perfect, or vava avarim, that he calls it. Ki rabim kacha. Understand? Chumash says it's vava avar. It's vava avarim. It's past perfect. It's not God said to Moshe. God has said to Moshe. Did I lose you yet? We're good? No. Here's what I want to add, now related to what we're talking about. If this is in real time, which I think makes a lot more sense, and Moshe's getting involved in the middle of Paro's palace, look again at what Moshe's telling Paro. He says, "Kol Mar Hashem, kechasot halayla ani yotzei b'doch Mitzrayim." I want you to translate for me. How would you translate into English, kechasot halayla? What? You guys all know kechatzot. Forget the kafadimyon kafadiyum. That's a machloket. I mean, it's not a machloket, but it could go. There's sometimes, you know, kafadimyon kafadiyum. Sometimes kaf means approximately. Sometimes it means exactly. So the problem is exactly midnight. I don't think people knew what midnight was back then. It means in the middle of the night. Chatzot means in the middle of the night, not in the beginning of the night, not the end of the night. Sometime in the middle of the night. Now, but translate it carefully. You translate what? At around midnight.
I'm going
to
go out.
Translate, you skipped a letter. Kechatzot halayla. Translate it properly. Tonight at midnight. Remember, halayla means Moshe is telling tonight at midnight. Is what play? Moshe is not saying some night at midnight. Moshe is saying tonight at midnight is Makat Bechorot. Isn't that the simple reading of the Pasuk? It's Paro said, "Don't you dare come back here again." Moshe says, "You're right, I'm not coming back here again. Tonight you're coming to me. You know what? Tonight at midnight you're coming to me. Because tonight at midnight is going to be Makat Bechorot. I ain't coming to you, you're coming to me." Because it's Kendi Barta. Now, if that's the case, if that's what the word means, that's what the word means, what day is this happening on? What day of the month is this happening? On the 14th of Nisan in the morning, right? What's Am Yisrael doing now when Moshe and Paro are having the shouting match? What are Am Yisrael doing? They're getting ready. They're selling their chametz. They're getting ready for Pesach, aren't they? They have all these commandments. Now, when did this shouting match begin? After what plague? How many days was Choshech?
3 6.
Yeah, so if this shouting match is on the 14th, and this shouting match takes place when Choshech is over, what were the days of Choshech? 11. And therefore, and what happened on the 10th? How do you know that? Oh, you weren't sure yesterday, okay? But how did Moshe know that?
Four days.
What did Am Yisrael find out about taking the sound of the 10th and Shechter on the 4th? Do you ever wonder why we take it on the 10th and wait till the 14th? How does Am Yisrael know to take it on the 10th and Shechter on the 14th? Who told them? How did Moshe find out? On Rosh Chodesh. When? Now you're not smiling? How does Moshe know about Makat Bechorot? Not from back in Midian. That was something general. When did he get all the details of Makat Bechorot? When it's going to be? What date it's going to be? What time of the day it's going to be? What's going to happen? Who's going to die? And who's going to be saved?
Standing
from Paro. He tells that to Paro. What did Moshe find out? 2 weeks earlier. But aren't all the details in Parshat HaChodesh? Look on your front page. In Parshat HaChodesh, should be there, yeah. Look on the bottom where it says, see? Remember, HaChodesh says, Lechem, take it on the 10th of the month, Pasor, Kichut, Selebet Avot, keep it to the 14th, and check it on the 14th. Then, Yud Aleph, V'kach Tochu Otom, Lechem Chagrim, Melechem Bragelechem, Pasuk Yudbet, V'avarti Beretz Mitzrayim Ba'Layla Hazeh, and continue. Those are all the psukim of Parshat HaChodesh. In Parshat HaChodesh, 2 weeks before Makat Bechorot, Moshe Rabbeinu knows everything that's going to happen that night, except for one detail. What detail is missing in Parshat HaChodesh? What? We know it's going to be that night, sometime that night. We know that any house that brings Korban Pesach will be saved. Every Egyptian house will be smitten. What don't we know? What's been happening after every plague so far?
Paro
always hardens his heart, doesn't he? Why is Paro hardening his heart? Hashem is going to harden his heart. Did God say he would? Did God tell Moshe how many plagues there's going to be?
No.
Remember, this was this Moshe, because Moshe's in the dark in Tochosha. Understand? It makes more. I think there should be 12 plagues. There's 12 plagues. Remember, there's 12 tribes. There's 12 12 months. There's 12 things in the zodiac. There should be 12 plagues. Let's say, maybe. Maybe it should have been 7 plagues. We know there's 10 plagues. We saw the the book even. But Moshe doesn't know there's 10 plagues yet. Because what did God tell Moshe Rabbeinu back? We'll see in a minute what he told him. He told him that, go warn Pharaoh, I want you to fail, remember? And I want him to say no, because I want to bring lots of plagues, and then I'll send you out. We'll read it again in a minute. So Moshe doesn't know what the last plague is going to be until God tells him. And that explains perfectly what happens in Pasuk Yud Aleph, in Perek Yud Aleph. What does God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? One more plague, and what? And it's over. Which means what? One more plague and I'm not going to harden his heart. Does Moshe know what the next plague is going to be? He knows, doesn't he? Because God tells him this on the 14th in the morning. This is the last minute call. Moshe knows there'll be Makat Bechorot. He doesn't know they're leaving Egypt that night. Now God decided we're leaving Egypt tonight. It's not just Pesach, now it's also Chag HaMatzot.
Could you repeat where in Parshas Kodesh? I think you said that all the details about the Torah.
And you bet you'd Gimel. Read Pasuk Yud Bet, Yud Gimel, and Perek Yud Bet. Vavarti Beres Mitzrayim, Adayla Hu, Adayla Zeh, Biketi Chol Chor Beres Mitzrayim, Chol Paroi, Shebik Yisrael, Vayadam Chot Al Batim, Riti Dam Asher Pasati Alechem. All that, way more than he heard in Midian. Understand? Now,
say the last one.
What? In Pasuk Aleph, look what God told Moshe, in the middle of the shouting match, in the middle of the shouting, match. Not a shout-out. Shout-out is something good nowadays. Yeah. In the middle of the argument, Moshe gets a beeper from God. Okay? Why is Moshe getting this beeper in the middle of the argument? Because God just made a decision. Maybe he made it earlier, but Moshe only finds out now that tonight is not only Korban Pesach and Makat Bechorot, tonight we're also leaving Egypt. Remember, no one's ready for this. V'gam Tzedal L'Sulahem. Everything comes as a surprise. Moshe told the people, no one leaves the house that night. Remember, Batem Al Titzuish Mipetach Bito Ad Boker? This is the last minute call. Now,
wait, so
yeah?
Shouldn't that have been before Pesach Chatzetah? Otherwise, how would Moshe know Lo Si Ozo Nech? Moshe says Karo.
Oh, how did Moshe know he's not coming back in? Okay. I'm going to get your question in a second. Now, do you understand how this is related now? If what I'm saying is correct, what Perek is out of order? Perek Yud Bet's out of order, isn't it? Perek Yud Bet is before Choshech, isn't it? So I'm showing everything's out of order here. Got it? Now we explain why it's out of order. I want to show you this whole everything in the first 14 chapters is out. Not, there's an order, but we're jumping around. We're jumping back and forth. We have a good reason for it in a minute. Hopefully, in a minute. So let me go back before I lose everybody. I want to go back to your question. Okay. I need to, it's football season, right? Oh, okay. Someone lost last night, I guess. Someone had to win, someone had to lose. Go back for a second, just something cute. Go back to Perek Gimel, the burning bush in Pasuk Zayin. In the burning bush in Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vav, God identifies himself, I'm the God of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And God's opening message starts in Pasuk Zayin. Remember it? What's God tell Moshe Rabbeinu? I heard the cry, therefore what? God tells Moshe, I heard the cry, therefore I'm going to take him out of Egypt. Got it? Now look at Pasuk Tet. God repeats himself in Pasuk Tet. And therefore, Pasuk Yud, I heard the cry, therefore I'm sending you, you go take him out of Egypt. Do you ever notice that contradiction? First God says, I heard their cry, therefore I'm taking them out of Egypt. Then God says, I heard their cry, therefore you take them out of Egypt. Make up your mind. Now, what's Moshe's response to this? What do you mean, me take him out? How can I take him out of Egypt? That's not, he doesn't want the job. He can't do the job. He says, how can I do that? Remember God's answer? That's not your problem. Right? You're not the head coach, you're the quarterback. You follow? You're a good quarterback, but you're not calling the plays. The head coach is calling the plays. It's God's making all the strategy. God needs Moshe simply to execute the plays. In fact, Moshe says, I can't do it. That's why you have the job, because I don't want someone making his own decisions. I'm calling the plays. I don't want what's called a Rosh Gadol. I want a Rosh Katan. I want a TSA employee. Understand my point? You just follow the rule book. You don't make up your own decisions. In Israel, security is Rosh Gadol. Got it? TSA is a Rosh Katan. They're two different shitot. But God says, that's why I'm saying Moshe's in the dark. God doesn't tell Moshe how many plagues there's going to be. He just tells him, your job is to go to Pharaoh and tell him what I tell him to tell you. And don't worry, you're going to tell him something and you're going to fail and I want you to fail. Remember? He tells him, Bani Odea, you go to Paro. Remember in Perek Gimel Pasuk Yudchet. Go to Pharaoh and tell him. Elai bring them, called upon us to go serve a God a 3-day distance. And Pasuk Yudchet, I know he's not going to say yes. And certainly he won't send you out with Yad Chazakah. And then I can bring all my plagues on you. And then he'll send you out. And then you'll borrow. Everything's set up there in the end of Perek Gimel. Got it? But God only tells Moshe as much as he needs to know. He tells him plague by plague. Moshe doesn't know how many plagues there's going to be. And before every plague, God tells him, here's the next plague, and go warn him. And God tells him, don't worry. You're going to ask him to do something, and you're going to fail, and I want you to fail. Because I want to bring another plague. But you have to warn him, because we got to get the tension built up. You understand God's plan? But God doesn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu about what the last plague is going to be until Kol Shekh is over. Now, I'm not sure when God decided that we're going to leave Egypt that night. All I know that the first time the Moshe Rabbeinu calls an audible is when? You guys don't know what audible is. I can't say anything gender-based, but the Gvarim, but that know what an audible is, and probably everyone else. An audible in football is when the quarterback makes his own call. Last minute, all of a sudden he sees that, like, the linebacker is about to blitz, and the original play the coach told him to do is going to fail, and he can't call a timeout. So right before the snap, he makes his own call. Isn't it? Now, this is the first time that Moshe called an audible, didn't he? Moshe has a chut. What do you mean chut? Moshe? How come Moshe is not coming back here again? How does he know? Got it? So what Rashi and Ramban are saying, God felt sorry for Moshe. He shouldn't have done it, but once he did it, okay, he's covering up his mess. Okay? He's a helicopter parent. The kid made a mess and he's got to cover up for him. So, okay? So instead of going back and forth, I'll tell you now. If this was a leadership seminar, I'd take exactly the opposite. What did God see? Moshe's growing up. He's finally making his own decision. This guy said he couldn't do anything. Now we got a leader. Now we can lead. I'm not sure if it's true, but it's great for a leadership seminar. But when does God make that decision we're leaving tonight? At least when does Moshe find out? Only when Moshe says, I'm not coming back to her again. That's the leadership thing. That's cool. Okay.
Puts everything into play.
What?
Puts everything
into now play. We're ready to leave. Now we have a leader. Someone who can make it. Sooner or later, God can't do everything for you. That's why I said, sooner or later, no matter how helicopter the parents are, sooner or later the kid's got to get out of the house and go to Israel.
Maybe what? He thought Har was going to die and not come to Choro.
And he had to tell him beforehand.
Choro was coming. Okay. And so
okay.
He knew.
Okay. It could be. All I'm saying is that God's decision to give Moshe a Nevuah in the middle of Paro's palace in real time has a lot to do with the fact that Moshe just said, I'm not coming back here again. Either to cover up his mistake, like Rashi, or I'm saying, God now sees, hey, we're ready to leave because I have a leader. It could be. Even if it's not shot, it's good for a leadership seminar. Okay? Now, we'll finish up in a minute. Now we have to put everything together. Now, if that's true, then what happened? What Moshe doesn't know, it's tonight's the last plague. At this point, either God decided, or God decided to tell Moshe, maybe something he knew already, that tonight we're leaving. Because we could have had Makat Bechor, we could have left a week later, 2 days later. But everything's really sudden in the last minute, isn't it? And that explains why God tells Moshe Rabbeinu about it's in last plague, we're telling what the plague is, because he knows what the plague is. And he has to tell him, I'm not hardening my heart. And that's why he tells him, tell the people to borrow, because not tonight, we have to borrow. Everything's in real time. Now, which Parshan could not accept what I just said about tonight means tonight at midnight? Who would not accept that? Why wouldn't Ramban accept that? Okay. So want to see something really neat? Flip the page over. Don't flip. Just go to the back page. Like on the book. Look at the back page, which is Ramban. Okay. Here. Where it says, hey, here Rambam says why what 11:1 is so cryptic. Okay, that's the thing we told before, that God takes some of the story here, some of the story there. Okay, and then here, and C. Look, just go right to C. Have seen? Okay. Vim Rosh Kolmar Hashem, Katsot Talayla, Pasik Dalad, El Paro Amar Kein. Remember I asked you when we read Pasik Dalad, who's Moshe talking to, and you all told me? Tam Yisrael? Ramban was very going to make that mistake. So what's he tell you in Pasuk Dalet? The Moshe is talking to Paro. Remember? And what's his proof? Kamosha Marvastov Tavarov in Pasuk Chet. That was the assignment I gave you, that little thing. Ramban was on the ball. Ramban was expecting you to make that mistake. And therefore Ramban's giving you a heads up. That when you read Pasuk Dalet, remember, look in Pasuk Chet, it's Moshe is talking to Paro. And now comes the fun part. Where it says Velo Pirish in big letters, like 5 lines from the bottom. Right. Moshe did not explain to Pharaoh what night this makah will be. It'll be some night at midnight. Got it? What's his proof? I understand what Ramban's saying? What does Ramban want to say that halayla means tonight? But he can't explain it means tonight. Why? Because it's not Perek Yudbet yet. And therefore, it's not Rosh Chodesh Nisan yet, because Chumash is in order. And therefore, this has to be before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And therefore, it can't mean tonight, because it's going to be at least another 2 weeks. And therefore, how does he have to explain it? Ukshamar kechatzot halayla, lo yodei ze layla lo. Vinei lo hidiya Moshe leo makatam. Understand? Now, what forces Ramban to say that? Because he can't accept Chumash should be out of order. When he really has to, he will. In Perek Tzayin, he'll say it. But here he doesn't. Got it? But I think the simple reading means tonight at midnight. Now, one last proof about units. Now I want to close everything up. And this will solve a big problem. Look at go to the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Look at Pasuk Chet again. What happens at the end of Pasuk Chet? Moshe gives his last shout out to Pharaoh, says, tonight you're coming to me. Tonight it's all over. And then what happens? What God just told Moshe Rabbeinu, that it's over tonight, right? And this time, I'm not going to harden his heart. Let's read Pasuk Tet in Yud, in the end of Perek Yud Aleph. Again, you should be totally baffled yesterday in Shul. Pasuk Tet. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, lo yishma lechem paro. How could that be? Didn't God just tell Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm not going to harden his heart, and this time he's going to let you go and send you out? God told Moshe, Paro's not going to listen to you. Why? Because I want to bring more plagues on Egypt. And Moshe and Aaron are sweat moftim ha'ile, lifnei paro, v'chazek Hashem alei paro, v'lo shilach me'isam me'artzom. What's going on? You understand how confusing that is? Why it makes no sense at all? It should say exactly the opposite. Now, speaking of past perfect, the only way to explain these psukim, this is not happening in real time. God's not talking to Moshe Rabbeinu now. Who's talking here? Chumash is talking. To who? To the reader. And what's Chumash doing? It's the deep voice narrator of Chumash talking, closing up a unit, summarizing. What's it summarizing? It's summarizing tic-tac-toe. Tic-tac-toe. What's tic-tac-toe? Remember the nine plagues? That's sure you know. The tic-tac-toe share? The nine plagues are all structured. There's 1, 4, 7, 2, 5, 8, 3, 6, 9, going one way. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Different. It's a lot of fun. You can make, and it goes like Sudoku. There's like, what it's called? You can do it in all different directions. That's a unit. But there's one thing common in that whole unit, that what? God hardens Paro's heart, or causes Paro to harden his own heart, and everyone. Like he said he would. That's the unit. Where did that unit begin? Remember the last time I showed you a delimiter? This unit is called 7-11. From chapter 7 to chapter 11. I want to show you this. Everything works like, once you understand the Chumash works in units, you can see how perfect it is. I'll show you unit after unit after unit. Okay? What did we see? The last delimiter were the genealogies in Perek Vav. Go back to Perek Vav again. In Parsha Be'era. How did Parsha Be'era begin? Remember, at the burning bush, Moshe got a double job. To go to Pharaoh and go to Am Yisrael. He went up. He went to Pharaoh in Parakeh. Some send my people out to serve me. What happened? Pharaoh said no, and he doubled the workload. Remember that? And Moshe is a guest.
Ooh.
Boy, he's angry. And he complains to God. Remember? And what's God tell him? Remember the last line of Parshat Shemot?
Sure.
You'll see what you'll see. You don't know my plan, but you just listen to me. Rosh Katan. That's me. Because when I'm finished with him, what happened? Ki biyad chazaka yishachem, ubiyad chazaka yigashem yaratzon. God tells Moshe, be patient. It's got to get worse before it gets better, but I got a plan. And when I'm finished with him, he'll send you out and he'll kick you out. I'm not going to explain it to you, he tells Moshe, but you just wait and see. And then, but Moshe's first encounter with Moshe with Paro was a failure, an intentional failure by God. Then he goes to Amitzon Paraglav in Parshat Be'era, doesn't he? And tells him, get ready for redemption. Remember? And the four cups of Gula, the four, the Shonot of Gula, Votzeti Vitzalti. And Moshe wants him all excited to be ready for Gula, and what happens? Failure number two. He's striking out, isn't he? And then after that, God tells Moshe, go again to Pharaoh. Moshe says, I'm a failure. Got it? And his message to Am Yisrael was not received for a good reason, because things got worse. Remember, they weren't asking for redemption, they wanted a lighter workload. And that ends with Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Gimel. See that? You see how that ends? It's like it's a beautiful ending in Perek Vav Pasuk Yud Gimel. Should be Yud Gimel. Is it Yud Gimel? Yeah, or Yud Bet, I'm sorry. Okay, Vayed Moshe came, I'm sorry, Pasuk Yud Gimel is perfect. But you see it's a separate parshia. Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Ba'aron. That's a double. That summarizes the first unit. Over. Moshe had a job to Paro and to Bnei Yisrael, and he failed them both. Interruption. Got it? We just fell from Yisrael. Genealogy is interrupting. And then I delimited, repeating that pasuk at the end. And now from chapter 7 to 11, it's between God and Egypt, or between God and Pharaoh. Who's out of the picture? Am Yisrael. We had our chance, we weren't ready. Paro wasn't ready. Now I'm going to work on. Remember, like Dennis is going from one chair to the other chair. Now he's going to do. He's going to root canal on. He's going to do ten implants or nine implants on Pharaoh. Got it? And from chapter 7 to 11, what's the topic? Tic tac toe, the nine plagues. Look how it begins. Look in Pasuk Gimel. First, God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron will help you speak to Pharaoh. He'll be like your navi. I'll tell you, and he'll tell Pharaoh. Listen to Pasuk Gimel, tell me what it sounds like. This opens up the unit, it's the introduction. Okay? Pasuk Gimel. But you go to Paro and tell him what I command you. Remember? Look in Pasuk Bet. Remember? The quarterback, Rosh Katan? And Aaron will speak on your behalf.
Where are you?
In Perek Zayin Pasuk Gimel. Okay? God tells Moshe, "V'ani akshet leiparo v'irbeiti tototai b'oktai b'eretz Mitzrayim v'lo yishma lechem paro v'natati yedi b'mitzrayim v'otzeiti tzivotai etami b'nei Yisrael b'eretz Mitzrayim mishpatim gdolim v'yudim yisim kini Hashem b'toti et yedi ha-Mitzrayim v'otzeiti et b'nei Yisrael mitocham v'yas Moshe v'aron kashir tziva Hashem b'kini asu Moshe ben 80 shana v'aron ben 83 shana b'dabram v'paro. End of the introduction. Got it? What follows now? Tic-tac-toe. All the makot. And what happens, everyone? Moshe, what do you call it? God hardened his heart. Am Yisrael is out of the picture. God didn't say anything to them. But we witnessed the Makot. After 10 Makot, now we're ready to come back to Shul again. To hear another rabbi speech. Okay? And now that we went through 9 Makot, before God can take us out, we have to do some mitzvot as well. Not just to convince the Egyptians, we have to do mitzvot to be worthy of coming out. Only some of the Bar Korban Pesach is going to be saved. Like the minimum requirement. Just get that blood on the door. Just listen to instructions once in your life to get ready. And therefore, chapter 7 begins with Paro won't listen to you. And this unit ends with Paro didn't listen to you. Got it? Is that clear now? The end of Perek Yud Aleph, those last two psukim, are summarizing the unit that began in chapter 7. It's a literary unit that has introduction and a conclusion, and they match each other perfectly. And inside we have a structured tic-tac-toe setup called the Nine Makot. Make sense? That's 7-11. Now I got to go back. You ever been to a dentist's office where he goes to one room to death? You got my analogy? So he's been working on this patient, like 5 root canals, got it? And now he's got to go back to his other patient. He gave him a Novocaine beforehand. But he didn't want to go now. Now he's ready to work on that patient. And Am Yisrael gets the job of, what do you call it? The Brit Korban Pesach, and get ready. That's Parshat HaChodesh. Even though it happened earlier. It happened 2 weeks earlier. And now they finished Parshat HaKodesh from Yisrael that happened 2 weeks earlier. Now I'm ready to continue the narrative that we left off in Perek Yud, in Perek Yud Aleph. Want to see a perfect proof? Look what happened. Look again in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Daled. That's the last time Moshe talks to Pharaoh before Makat Bechorot, right? How does Moshe start talking in Perek Yud Pasuk Aleph? Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Daled. Vimul Moshe kol mar Hashem kechatzot halayla v'yotze b'toch Mitzrayim. Got that? Umei kol b'chor. Moshe talks from Pasuk Daled to Chet in Perek Yud Aleph. Pasuk Tet is a summary. Got that? Doesn't count. Perek Yud Bet Aleph to Chav Chet is a flashback. Agreed? Where does the narrative that ended in Pasuk Chet continue? You need a quorum for this. You follow? The narrative, the real-time narrative that was in Pasuk Daled Techet, where Moshe says, "Kechasot halayla ani yotzei b'toch Mitzrayim," happening on the 14th of the morning. In Perek Yud Pasuk Chavtet. Perfect. Vayhi b'chatzei halayla dat bakat b'chorot. You understand how you have to read the chronicle in chronological order? I go from Vayetzei Mipor B'chori Af, that's it, and then Vayhi b'chatzei halayla makat b'chorot. Everything beforehand is closure and a flashback. But I have a new unit now. Now the route of Egypt. Now I have to make up all the things we missed in the meantime. Yeah.
Can you clarify for me how you're reading 11:4? You're saying Kachatzos Halayla.
Tonight at midnight. I'm not saying Moshe is saying it.
Tonight.
What?
You're saying the Halayla is...
Tonight. That's what it means.
What would it say if it meant just in general, which is I think most people would take it, sometime around midnight? How would it have been expressed? If it didn't mean tonight,
but
just in general,
it's
telling him
it's
going to happen at midnight.
Beza Laila, I
don't know.
Beza.
Right?
Say that again.
Chatzot
Laila.
Chatzot Laila without that?
The Chatzot Laila, but it needs a longer sentence. How would you say it in English? Some night at midnight? So say some night at midnight. Beza Yom. Beza Laila Bachatzot. But halayla means tonight. How would you say tonight at midnight? If this didn't mean tonight at midnight, how would you say tonight at midnight? That's a better question, isn't it? If you had to say in Hebrew tonight at midnight, how would you say it? Halayla b'chatzot. Halayla b'chatzot. Halayla b'chatzot. It's the same thing. Halayla is like, remember, there's a song like that.
Usually Moshe tells Paro when Makkah is going to happen. He usually does tell.
That's right, and now he's telling him again, yeah.
So it kind of fits in.
It fits in. Yeah, every he tells them the day before him.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. He tells them later, tomorrow. It'll stop in a day from now, we'll tell him.
Yeah.
But he's pretty punctual. There's no other marker where he says, sometime this will happen.
Right.
That's a good point. Okay? Now, so I'll just try to prove to you, again, I've reviewed a note here from before about Moshe and the Darkei Choshech. Now it makes a little more sense, hopefully. Also, I'm trying to show you that from the beginning of Sefer Shemot, we're going back and forth and back and forth. Got it? Because Moshe gets a double job at the snare, and I use the analogy going to a dentist. You know, a dentist working on different patients. He goes to one room, and then goes back, takes care of the other room, and goes back and forth. And Chumash is giving us, he's filming it from two different cameras. I finish one camera, then I go back to the other camera, even though it overlapped. And then the stories have to come back together again. And this will continue over and over again in Sefer Shemot. And remember the Mishkan before and after Chet HaEgel? All through Sefer Bamidbar it happens. Vayikra, there's no narrative. So the main narrative units, sections of Chumash, all work that way. Now, which means, what's Chumash doing? It's not in chronological order. It's in thematic order. And Chumash purposely moves things around for a thematic message. So now I want to give... Now I have to go back. We have to finish. Late. I have to go back to my original question. Remember? I'm not sure it's the right answer. I'm suggesting something. For some reason, what seems to have happened... is that Chumash purposely took the commandment of Chag HaMatzot, even though it was given later. It inserts it together with Pesach Dorot, and for some reason it takes the commandment of Pesach Dorot, even though it was given earlier, and saves it for the end of the story. Okay? It's like an epilogue. Understand what we saw? Now, I want to begin with why does Chumash take Chag HaMatzot and juxtapose it to Pesach? And the answer is simple. You don't understand that. Okay. What am I quoting? What's it mean, Lotishchat al chametz dam zivchi? When you shech korban Pesach, what can't you have? You can't have chametz. That's a later law. Now, with the first korban Pesach, Do we have chametz? Do we have? Do we deal with matzah or not?
Yes.
It's not machok. It's a pasuk. V'chu et abasai b'leila. It's li'eshu matzot. To remember the Exodus. Why are we eating the first korban pesach with matzah? Because God said so. Why did God say so? Because when you look carefully, chametz is a symbol of Egyptian culture, of sickening Egyptian culture, a bad Egyptian culture, which Am Yisrael is immersed in. And if you go back to Parsha Va'era, and in light of what Yechezkel interprets it, later in Yechezkel, if you remember that share, is that Am Yisrael were immersed in Egyptian culture, and God told them, get rid of your Egyptian ways. And that's what he meant by Ani Hashem. Turn over a new leaf. Get ready to serve me. They weren't ready. They were still, their Egyptian ways, they were ingrained in their Egyptian ways. God has to get rid of it. You got the pun. Ingrained in Egyptian ways. Now, Egypt, this is in Avot, this is like in all the books. Egypt was known for bread making. There was a minister in the government in charge of bread making. They invented beer. Fermentation, they were the experts. They were known for chametz as a symbol of Egypt. It's typical of Egypt, and therefore, on Passover, it reminds us there's something intrinsically wrong with chametz. Maybe there is, but it's simple level. We're allowed to eat all year long. On Pesach, it takes this identity, it reminds us of how we have to get rid of bad culture. Call it your Yetzahara, ask your local Hasidish Rav. Remember? Chametz is symbolic of... And there's no point in redemption if you're not ready for redemption. The first generation had a good excuse. Remember? But if I'm going to remember the Exodus, I'm going to thank God for saving me from Akad Pachorot, I don't only need to remember that He saved me, I need to remember why He saved me. And therefore, if I'm going to thank God for my freedom in the future, all future generations, it has to come together with the commitment to get rid of my bad behavior. Understand now, to the point that the rabbis are right on the mark, it can say seven times in Chumash, eat matzah for 7 days, and what are the rabbis telling you? You don't have to. Didn't you learn that? Right? Only the first night. Based on what pasuk? On a pasuk that says from the 14th to 21st, they truncate it. You know that, don't? Ve'eftuchu matzot is the middle of a pasuk. It's from the 14th in the evening until the 21st in the evening. Eat matzah. They truncate the 14th to 21st and they just, out of context, quote ve'eftuchu matzot, and they're playing games with you. Didn't you notice that? Seven times it says eat matzah for 7 days. And Chazal say you don't have to. Why? Because what do they understand? It's like working 6 days a week. There's no commandment to work 6 days a week. At least we don't paskin that way. Yeshiva roof, that's for sure. But we say that because you have to keep Shabbat. Therefore, you eat matzah because you can't have chametz. The main commandment is no chametz. What's the proof? If you eat chametz, you're chayv karet. You're not chayv karet if you don't eat matzah. You're chayv karet if you eat chametz. If you own chametz. If you see chametz. You follow? We have to get a total wipeout of chametz. And that understanding makes remembering the Exodus meaningful. Because I'm not just saying thank you. I have to remember why He took me out of Egypt. That's remember, we say in Shema, I took you out of Egypt. And therefore, if I'm going to thank God the Dorot for the Exodus, the first generation had a good excuse. They weren't ready. Future generations don't have that excuse anymore. We're free. And if I'm going to thank God for my freedom, I need to remember why He saved me. And therefore, I need to associate the theme of getting rid of your chametz and hence eating matzah together with Pesach. Now it's Sefer Dvarim. Remember? Shmor Chol Shaviv V'sita Pesach Hashem Elokecha. Okay? B'makom HaShevchar. Lo tochal lav chametz. Shivat yamim tochal lav matzot lachemoni. Remember, Ben Zoma quotes it when Bar Eliezer Ben Azari didn't know, couldn't figure out why we're so obsessed with this idea of remembering the Exodus. In other words, Sefer already clarifies that when I bring Korban Pesach, it has to come with Isur Chametz. And therefore, even though the commandment to eat matzah for 7 days, which reminds me of the experience, which is nice, happened incidentally later, when Chumash tells the laws of Pesach Doron, it's going to connect it to the topic of getting rid of your chametz. Because that's thematically important. And that's the reason why the Korban Pesach itself has to eat with matzah. Not because to remember that, to remember to get rid of your Egyptian culture. No chametz allowed at the Seder. And therefore, what I'm suggesting is that even though this commandment was given later, thematically it belongs earlier, or maybe God gave it earlier because of that purpose. You can go either way. Even though it only happened later. But Moshe can't tell it to the people until after we leave Egypt, because then it makes sense to them. So I'm trying, for thematic reasons, I'm going to take a parshial which belongs later, and what's the proof? Moshe only tells it to people after we leave Egypt, and I'm attaching it to Pesach V'Doro. That's one. On the flip side, at the end of the unit, I concluded with this big Brit Ben Abtarim statement, didn't I? In the end of Perek Yud Bet, after 400 years and 430 years, God took us out of Egypt. That's a grand conclusion, isn't it? It's over. What's over? Brit Ben Abtarim. I think that's clear. The 400 years is alluding to Brit Ben Abtarim. God kept His promise, and now we're a nation, and we're going to get the land of Israel, Yerusha. Now that I mentioned Brit Ben Abtarim, which is our national redemption, being God's people, I need to remember that there's no point in thanking God as a nation unless I take my personal commitment of Brit Milah. Remember the special law that you can't bring? There's no other law like that. If you don't do Brit Milah, you can't bring Korban Pesach. And those are the only two mitzvot say that have a few of karet, because they all go back to the covenants and Sefer Bereshit of why we're chosen. So I think now that I mentioned Brit Ben Abtarim, I concluded it, I make a very important comment that in the future, when you're going to keep and you're going to commemorate the Exodus, you left this evening from Egypt, you're making a big deal about it, remember, because Korban Pesach reminds you of Brit Ben Abtarim and God took you out of Egypt, make sure that thinking of God as a nation, make sure that it begins with a commitment as a person, the commitment of Brit Milah, Lechalaluim, that He's your God at a personal level, not just on a national level. And therefore, then the personal commitment has to precede the national commitment. Yeah, that's a Shalosh Shuras Rosh, okay? I can't, it's, put it this way, it's true whether that's Prat and Psukim, like any good Midrash, you understand? The point that you have to have a personal commitment, not just a national commitment, is true. I'm suggesting that might be the reason for the juxtaposition. Maybe it is, maybe it's not. And it's true that Chametz is linked to Korban Pesach in the law of eating matzah, and the Pasuk in Devarim, Shivatim Tuchala Batzot, Med Lo Tuchala Chametz, Shivatim Matzah. So you remember it every day. So I'm suggesting a reason what the changing the order of the Pesukim might, what thematic message might be in the next step order, which I think is intentional. Yeah.
But when the people are told not to eat the Korban Pesach with Chametz,
yeah,
what rationale are they given? You're going to be going out to Pesach, or are they being
No, that family dinner is an anti-Egyptian. What are we? We're taking Egypt. Remember, Moshe said before, if we would take it sand and sect in Egypt, they'd stone us, because that's like in the face of the Egyptians taking a seth and eating it and burning it. So, and it's in their face not eating. Remember Freedom Fries way back when we didn't like the French? And they told us not to go to Iraq, and they thought we they were evil? Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that there's no, the people are not given a rationale why they're not eating it with chametz.
According to Cheska, they did.
They were told
to change their ways, give rid of their Egyptian ways, etc. Because they didn't listen, Chumash hides that. We hide our dirt, because they have a good excuse. That has a good excuse. That's why future generations need to know that. That's why all these laws are highlighting future generations and not that generation, because God feels sorry for that generation. What do you want from them? They suffered for so long. Okay, anyway, our time is way up, but I hope you follow what we did. It was like I conflated two shirim together today and didn't do the shir I was supposed to do. But it came out good in the end, because you just read Parsha Rachodesh. This Parsha is good for any time of the year. If there's this. But that's Tzukit Zimra. That's a class in Tilim. This is Shaykh to Parsha Shavua. So I said, review it. Look, read them again. And try to remember. See if it fits in. Okay?
You said that the Brakat Koshech was the beginning of Nisan. Isn't there a Chazal that it was 1 month apart? Koshech was on Yudal.
Yeah, there's lots of Midrashim where everything has to fit. I call them Yekit style, where everything has to be in a stance. Well, no, everything's 1 month.
Even I saw Oruv Simcha on Yudal and Adar, and it was Koshech.
That's in the world of Midrash. That's where everything has to fit into a pattern. On the other hand, there's a beautiful Midrash that during Koshech, people weren't worthy died. Which right. Makes sense, because if you didn't take the Korban Pesach on the 10th, Mishku Kulachem, Mishku Idechem from Avodah Zarah, the Korban Pesach. So during Choshech is when God punished those people who didn't take the Korban Pesach and then let the Egyptians see it. But the coolest thing is that Choshech is the last plague, because Choshech is coming up to the Egyptian God, the sun God, the big God. That's like right before Makat Bechor, God's going to give it to the sun. and that's why covering the sun is right there.
Okay.
Two things. In the parshiot that are not in the tefillin, it says when your son asks machar.
Yeah.
Why machar? It's not obviously not machar.
Machar means in the future. Yeah.
In the future. And the other one says, and then the next parsha that.
Kaddish called for.
Banai after.
Yeah.
That my banai meaning. Bechor le'imo, or
banai means my child. No, but not because b'nei bechor Yisrael.
But it says banai in plural.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but all God's children.
Hmm.
No, it's you say all your firstborn, but we're like all God's firstborn, so okay. We belong to God.
B'nei bechor Yisrael.
What?
B'nei bechor Yisrael.
Yeah.
One hour.
Yeah.
Do you remember you took a selfie of me on a subway?
Oh, yeah, your serious father, Sarah. Yeah.
But she didn't get it, she changed her phone.
Oh, yeah, I sent to her again.
If you could, sent you a new email?
Okay, yeah, send me that. I have a new email.
So you could just
did you kill this? Did you kill the recording?
Yeah, you can tell the recording, yeah.
Did you kill?
No, I didn't kill it yet.